tonight. I want you to turn with me, please, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 29. The book of Proverbs, chapter 29. We're turning tonight to a very familiar portion of Scripture. A verse I'm sure you've heard often preached upon, certainly a verse I've often quoted in the course of my messages. But a verse I believe the Lord has given for someone in this meeting tonight. I want you to see what we have to say tonight as not being from the words or the lips of this preacher. But I want you to see this as being the word of God to your soul. In Proverbs chapter 29 and the verse number 1, we read, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Before we come to the preaching of the Word of God, can we just still our hearts, please, in God's presence, let's ask for His help. Eternal God and our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us already. We thank Thee, Lord, tonight that there is room at the cross for more. We thank Thee, Lord, tonight that the blood of Jesus Christ still cleanses from sin. Thank Thee, Lord, for help given to our sister Helen as she has ministered to us in song. We pray, Lord, You continue to speak on, especially now as we come around Thy Word. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just pray for the speaking voice of God. To this end, we pray that You'll hide this preacher behind the cross. Lord, may no voice be heard but the voice of God. Speak, we pray. In the stillness and in the solemnity of this meeting tonight, we ask that You will speak like never before to those who are out of Christ, still in sin. Write Thy Word upon our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last Lord's Day evening, we looked at the very solemn question asked by Peter. What shall be the end of them who obey not the gospel of God? And Peter brought before us in that verse the reality and the solemn truth that there are those who refuse to obey the call and the command of the gospel to be saved. Those who refuse to be right with God. And Peter then asks about their end, about that dreadful a day that awaits all those who do refuse to be saved, when they stand before God on that great white throne of judgment, the judge of all and the righteous judge, and they stand before Him still in their sin condemned. And as forever and finally they are cast out into outer darkness. We thought of the sinner's end last Lord's Day evening. But we come a little further this evening, and into this most familiar verse of Scripture, we think of the sinner's eternal damnation. Because the words of our text for tonight are most solemn words. As I've said, words that I've often quoted in the passage of our messages. Words that God has brought to me, I believe, for someone. I don't know who, but for someone in this meeting tonight. God in His grace tonight, through His Word, comes with one further, and God forbid, one final warning to the sinner. God comes tonight and He warns you about your end last week, but now He warns you about your eternal damnation, about what awaits you beyond the grave. Because remember, folks, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Dear unconverted in this meeting tonight, you are left without excuse. You see, tonight you're left without any comeback when you come before God, because for one more time, God warns you. And God instructs you. Proverbs chapter 29 and the verse 1 are amongst some of the most solemn words in Scripture to those tonight who are still in their sin. And if tonight finds you here in this meeting, this gospel service without Christ, we are delighted to see you. But tonight we say in love and mercy to your soul, please listen not to the words of this preacher, but tonight please listen to the word of God and take heed. I want you to see some things with me here in this verse. I want you to see here the privilege that is expressed in this verse. Because the verse says, he that been often reproved. It speaks there of a privilege, a tremendous privilege that you, the sinner, have enjoyed. The privilege of hearing the gospel. The privilege of being warned from the word of God and being told of your need to be saved, to turn from sin and to turn to Christ for salvation. The privilege of being told that Christ is your only hope. That tonight to those who are held in the blackness and the darkness of sin, that Christ is the light of the world who came to give you light, came to give you life. You have a tremendous privilege tonight. And that is of hearing the gospel. Notice the mercy of this privilege. He that been often reproved. You know, folks, whenever you stop to consider and think of really something of the nature of God and the Scriptures, and we in some way were thinking about that this morning. We were thinking about the long-suffering nature of God, the patience of God. Do you know, folks, the very fact that you are being again warned tonight that there is a hell to flee from, and that you are in sin and that sin needs to be covered, is only on the mercy and on the goodness of God. I've often pointed out that we deserve nothing from God. We deserve nothing but the wrath and the judgment of God. God was under no obligation to send His Son into this world. Yet in great mercy, God promised that the Son would come. And that great gospel promise, that first gospel promise way back there in Genesis 3:15, in that same chapter where we're dealing with the fall of man, yet when man fell into sin, God promised a Redeemer. God promised that the power and the dominion of sin would be destroyed by the seed of the woman, the reference to Christ and His victorious work at Calvary, that Satan's heel and his stranglehold over sinners would be destroyed. But even that promise, should you go no further into the Scriptures, even that promise is due to the mercy of God. God saw the plight. God saw the ruination of fallen man. And He pitied those in such a depraved and miserable state, knowing that they of themselves could never merit favor with God. And in the midst of hopelessness, in the midst of darkness, He promised Savior. And God's mercy is seen. God's mercy is seen most especially in the great plan of redemption. But you know, God's mercy is seen in His creation all around us, and all of His works of providence, and all of the things we see the hand of a merciful God. The Puritan Thomas Watson, he said, every time you draw breath, you suck in mercy. Every time you draw breath, you suck in mercy. Sinner, tonight, what a privilege you have. And yet you're blind to it. That is of hearing the gospel. Of being told from the word of God that there is a Savior. But that there is also coming judgment for sin. We see that mercy there in that word reproved. It means to rebuke. It means to be corrected. It means that you're on the wrong way. means you're walking a dangerous pathway, and a pathway that will lead to damnation in hell. It means to be lost forevermore, and it shows that God in mercy is telling you, sinner, to turn around and get off that way and to get on the right way. God is reproving you tonight. God is telling you you're on the wrong way. The wise man says there's a way that seemeth right. And tonight you think that the way you're on seems right. It seems okay. There's nothing wrong with it, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. You were traveling along a road, and you were not familiar with that road, and there were warning signs up along that road telling you to seek an alternative route because there was danger ahead. You would be a fool to keep on going and drive right into danger. And yet, sinner, tonight, that's exactly what you're doing. You're being a fool. You're ignoring and not heeding the warnings of God, and you are going headlong to hell. God is reproving you. God is warning you. God in His mercy is telling you to turn around. Turn to Christ. See the multiplicity of this reproving as well. It says often, often reproved. I fear tonight for those who meet the Lord still in their sin, having had multiple opportunities to get right with God. You may disagree with me, that's fine. But I do believe that for those who have had the privilege of sitting in gospel meeting after gospel meeting, and yet refusing to be saved, refusing to get right with God, I believe your judgment will even be more fierce. Often reproved, you've heard your need to be saved. You've heard your need to get right with God, and yet you do nothing about it. Oh, God could have cut you off so long ago. He could have turned His back upon you. He could have stopped striving with you. But He comes for one final time tonight and says, sinner, you're on the wrong pathway. You're on a way that leads to destruction. You're on a way that leads to damnation. Turn around. You need to be saved. How long suffering God has been with you. You think of the days of Noah. Men's heart were so wicked. And it repented God that He had made man upon the earth. And for over 120 years, Noah preached righteousness. He warned. And the people made fun of him. Noah, you're building that boat, big boat that hasn't rained here for years. You're a fool. God's not going to judge this world. God's not going to send a flood. But we know the story, don't we? Because the floods came, that form of judgment wiped out the sinner. And only 8 righteous were left. God destroyed this world through the flood. Speaking and typifying of the judgment of God that will fall upon those who have been often reproved, who have been told. And how often, sinner, have you sat in this church? How often have you heard of your sin? How often have you heard of the only Savior from your sin? How often have you heard that one day God will judge you in your sin, and yet you sit on? What mercy. But remember the words spoken in Noah's day, those words which are applicable in our day as well. God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. God has been striving with you. God has been speaking with you. What a privilege. Sinner, don't rebel, don't reject it anymore. There's a privilege expressed here. But I want you to see here a provocation exposed. Because the sinner, by your rebellion and by your refusal, you are provoking the wrath of God upon you. You're storing up wrath against the day of wrath. Notice how it is expressed here in verse number 1. It says, hardeneth his neck. Having heard the gospel, having heard your need to be saved, having been told to flee from the wrath of God, what is your response? You sit unmoved. You sit unmoved. And you sit still in your sin. And you harden your neck to the gospel. You've become hard to the gospel. The gospel no longer affects you. Or you've become accustomed to it. You've become comfortable in your sin. That word hardeneth there. It means that you believe within yourself you are strong enough to resist the wrath and the judgment of God. Ezekiel says, who shall endure the day of God's wrath? And sinner, it doesn't matter how strong you think you will be. You will be rendered weak and helpless before God as you stand before Him. You see, sin has so blinded you and so bound you that you've reached the point where the gospel has so little effect upon you. You think you're strong enough in yourself. You don't need this faith. You've lived long without it. Tonight the problem is not with the message. The problem is not with Christ who has offered the message. The problem tonight is with you, the sinner. You have hardened your neck to the gospel. You've refused to return. You've refused to repent and turn to Christ. You've refused to realize that your only way to heaven is through faith in Jesus Christ. Well, you think I've lived long enough without Him. I've done well enough without Christ up until this moment. I don't need Him now. I'll be all right. It'll all work out in the end. That is the lie from the pit of hell. And that is a lie that is blinding the Protestant people, the Roman Catholic people, and all of faith and no faith in our land. It'll all work out in the end, because sure, everybody's going to heaven. No. No. Everybody is not going to heaven. There is a way to heaven. And that way to heaven is not through your good works, not through your social standing, not through your membership of any organization or association you claim to mention. Your only way to heaven is through faith in Jesus Christ and His precious blood. If you're not depending on that tonight, I say, on the authority of the Word of God, you're not going to heaven. It's God's heaven. And there's only one way to God's heaven. And God's way is by placing your faith and trust in Him. Oh, tonight the Lord stand willing, able, and ready to save you. And yet you refuse. You harden your neck. You're not impacted by the gospel the way you used to be. You sat under conviction perhaps in days gone by. But tonight even this very message has no impact upon you. Oh, what a sad state to be in. I've told this story before, but it bears account as we come to think of this particular verse of Scripture. The late Sam Workman tells the story that how he as a child would have called into a blacksmith's workshop on his way home from school every day. And one day he stood watching the blacksmith take a piece of metal out of the furnace. And it would be flaming hot and red in colour. And he would beat at that bit of metal and hammer at it and put it into the shape of the horseshoe. And in the process of the hammering and shaping it, the metal would have turned from the red hot to black. It would have become dull in color. And the blacksmith would just have lifted the newly made horseshoe off the anvil and placed it on the shelf, ready to make another one. Of course, children being children, Sam Workman says that his mind was inquisitive. And he thought if the blacksmith could lift that newly made horseshoe, well, he could lift it too. Sam Workman says how that he went over to the shelf where the newly made horseshoe was. It was no longer red. It was just a black, dull color. And the very second that he touched it, it burned blisters into his hand. It was still flaming hot. But Sam Workman was not going to give in, because he went back again and again, and he says, I'm going to lift this horseshoe. I'm going to do this. But every time he went to lift that newly made horseshoe, it was still burning his hands. And he turned to the blacksmith and he says, How can you lift that piece of metal that's still so hot and it's burned blisters into my hand? How can you lift it and yet it doesn't burn you, it doesn't affect you? The blacksmith turned to young Sam Workman, and he put out his hands to the young lad. And he said, young lad, years ago that metal would have burnt me. But today, it has no effect upon me. The heat doesn't affect me now. There's no impact. Sinner, tonight, that's exactly how you are in the gospel. The gospel, Jesus Christ, sadly, doesn't impact you the way it once did. And you've become hard. How foolish. You're stiff-necked. You become stubborn and rebellious. And you have defied God. Oh, you wouldn't openly admit that. You would say, preacher, I haven't defied God. I respect God. You have defied God because God has been merciful to you. God has been long-suffering to you. Oh, sinner, tonight, don't harden your neck. Because who knows? Who knows, but you could do it for one final time. You have every expectation to join with us next Lord's Day. You have every plan made out for the week that lies ahead. In an instant, God could come and cut you off. Sinner, tonight, don't harden your heart to the gospel. There's a privilege expressed here. There's a provocation exposed. But as we close this evening, there is a peril emphasized. A peril emphasized, it says, at the end of the verse, shall suddenly be destroyed. Not without remedy, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Sinner, that's what awaits you. That's the peril, the awful peril that you're in tonight. Because tonight you stand right at the very edge of a lost eternity. Tonight you stand right at the very edge of hell. And at any moment, At any moment, God could take breath from your body, and forever you would be lost. Notice the sureness of this peril. It says, shall. You know, for those who meet God on that great final day of judgment, that great white throne of judgment, sinners who meet God still in their sin, your one desire will be that God will turn his back on his word. And that God will open the gates of heaven and just let you in. That will be your greatest desire. But nothing that defileth shall enter in. Sin defiles. You meet God still in your sin, you'll not enter into heaven. You see the swiftness of this peril as well, suddenly. God can suddenly just cut you off without warning. How many started this day in health and strength, and yet so many will never see it out. Death has come suddenly and come unexpectedly. Oh, you know you must die. You know you're not going to be here forever, but did you reckon upon it being tonight? Like that rich man that we read of in Luke's Gospel. That man who made every preparation for living. Made every preparation for making his life down here as comfortable as possible. He made every preparation for living, but made no preparation for dying. And God came to him and God said, This night, thy soul shall be required of thee in heaven, and then what shall these things be? You could have all this world has to offer, and yet die in your sin and be cast into outer darkness. Sinner, tonight death can come and come so suddenly. One of the folks in the congregation telling me of one of their neighbours, a young man. And his father went in to find him dead in the bed, not too far from here. Death comes suddenly. Are you ready? And finally, there is the severity of it, because it says without remedy. Without remedy. You see, you go out into eternity and meet God still in your sin. You close your eyes in death. There's no hope for you beyond the grave. Oh, you'll start pleading with God in eternity like never before, but it will all be in vain. Because mercy is past, grace is no longer extended. Now is your day of grace. Now is your day of opportunity. Because in eternity there's no way out. No fire escapes in hell. Many ways in, but not one way out. That rich man who died, what's it say? Being in torments. And he cried that just a tip, a little bit of water, somebody would dip their finger in a little bit of water and just cool his tongue. He was in such torments. But you see, there's a problem. There's a great gulf fixed. No man can pass. You know, if even for a moment you thought that eternity, a lost eternity, would come to an end, it would make it a little easier. but eternity is without end. Just as for all those who die in Christ, go to be with Christ in heaven for all of time, so those who die without Christ and go to a lost eternity, it's for all time as well. It will never cease. Sinner, tonight, don't reject Christ anymore. Don't harden your heart anymore, but rather tonight come to Christ. Because in the gospel he extends the invitation to you. But it may be for one final time. He that been often reproved. How often have you been reproved? How often has God challenged you? How often has God spoken to you? And yet you've hardened your neck. Shall suddenly be cut off. And that without remedy. May that not be said of anyone sitting in this gospel service on this Lord's Day, the 9th of April 2017. Don't go to hell from a gospel meeting. But rather tonight come to Christ. Come and be saved. Flee from the wrath of God that's coming. Will you come tonight? Will you leave your sin? Will you experience God's pardon and God's peace? Will you start for heaven tonight? Ere it be too late. Let's bow in prayer.